All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I am your host, Aaron Freeman. And today I am answering more listener questions pertaining to the Atlanta Falcons. And you might also get a rant about a certain Falcons tight end at the end of the show.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm Aaron Freeman, founder of FalconFans.com, one of the longest-running Falcons fan sites on the interwebs, and the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast. So, guys, I was hoping to get a guest for tonight's episode, but was unable to get one. So, you know, we'll just answer some questions. I did not, you know, we've done two back-to-back Q&As, but guess what? You guys sent in a lot of questions this week. I probably won't have anything to put up on LockedOnFalcons.com at the end of the week. Unless you guys send in more questions, but I didn't get to all these the last 2 days, so I'll get to them today. I also might go on an Austin Hooper rant, depends on how I feel towards the end of the show, depends on how quickly I can answer some of these questions, and we'll figure it out. But, you know, I've been fighting with people online today about Austin Hooper. I've talked about Austin Hooper on the last couple of episodes and how you guys are going a little bit overboard on sort of the quote unquote disappointment talk. I've explained some of the reasons for that, but I have additional thoughts to that, so we'll see how that goes. Also, wanted to remind you guys that we give away a free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription on the Locked On Podcast Network. All you got to do is go to Locked On Falcons on iTunes, give us a 5-star review, leave your Twitter handle in that review, and by all means, you may be one of the lucky winners at the end of each week in a random drawing to win a free Pro Football Focus Edge subscription. That's a $40 value that you can get for free. Included in that is play grades, position rankings, fantasy tools and charts, projections, all that type of stuff, stats, draft coverage, all the stuff that you come to know and love with Pro Football Focus. If you do not get that Pro Football Focus Edge account, you can still get all the great Pro Football Focus content on the Locked On Podcast Network by checking out Mike Renner every Wednesday on Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson. You can also check out Benny Iyer's Locked On Fantasy Football Show, which features Jeff Ratcliffe, the director of fantasy for Pro Football Focus, every Thursday. All right, let's get into it. Oh, well, right off the bat, we're getting into it. This comes from Keith Guillory. He asked these questions on Facebook. He says, free, the tight end play has been pretty bad this season. I'm wondering where Perkins is. I think he's the most athletic tight end on the roster. Is there a reason why he hasn't gotten any run? Is he still even on the roster? No, Josh Perkins is not on the roster. He's on the practice squad, but technically he's on the practice squad injured list because he got hurt at some point earlier, I think in early October, with an undisclosed injury. And so therefore is essentially on the injured reserve version of the practice squad. So he doesn't really count towards the practice squad, but he's still technically under a practice squad contract, which isn't necessarily saying he's truly under contract because he still kind of can, you know, if he was healthy, he could sign a contract with another team. So there's a decent chance that Josh Perkins will be re-signed to a futures contract at the end of the season once it's over and will be brought back to compete for a roster spot again next summer. Or, you know, the Falcons may let him walk depending on what this injury is. Again, we don't know exactly what it is, but yeah, you know, we talked quite a bit about Josh Perkins during the preseason and sort of the discussion for that number three tight end position because he was competing directly with Eric Saubert. As many of you know, then I thought Josh Perkins was more deserving of winning that roster spot. I'm glad to see Saubert come get a little bit more work in some of these recent games and his performance, particularly as a blocker, which is primarily what he's been used as when he does get reps on offense, has been better as of late than it was early in the season when the Falcons basically scrapped the 2-3 tight end set completely from their offense for a good portion of the season. I think that, like, after the Lions game, they basically abandoned it until maybe the Jets game, if I can recall correctly. So, you know, I thought Perkins was a little bit better, but the problem that Perkins faced was the fact that his blocking really wasn't up to par. And when you're the third tight end, you need to be a better blocker. Obviously, Eric Saubert's blocking wasn't that good either during the preseason. And I thought that for that reason, I thought Perkins was a little bit more game ready just because he had that NFL experience from the previous season. But the Falcons thought otherwise, probably because Saubert is a draft pick and Perkins is not. And so that gives that guy, you know, one of those guys, a little bit of an edge in some of these close roster battles. So that's the skinny on Josh Perkins. All right, fantasy football fans, listen up. It's not too late to join the 500,000 people that have already downloaded Draft this season. You get to play in a real live snake draft, but you're done in under 5 minutes and they last for just 1 week. You can join one right now for week 15. The best part, play for cold hard cash. Get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than salary cap websites. All right, all new players get a free entry with real money when you make your first deposit. You have to use the promo code LONFL. That's right. Play a real money game for free by just using the promo code LONFL. Just search Draft in your app store. Go to draft.com. You can play for free right now with the promo code LONFL. I'm also, you know, I'm starting up my own four-person snake draft for this week, for week 15. First three people that sign up and use the promo code LONFL can join my one-week group. Get in before Sunday. Just download the Draft app. I'm going to tweet out the link under Locked On Falcons on Twitter right after this episode drops on Wednesday. It's going to be a first-come, first-served basis, so join up today, win some cash. Get some bragging rights. Take some of my money. All right, let's move on to Keith's other question he has. Last thing, I keep hearing the coaches and players say team needs more than turnovers. Say the team needs more turnovers. I'm sorry, I can't read. Well, I watched a little of the Panthers and Vikes, and I couldn't help but notice the pressure the Panthers kept bringing on Keenum by bringing extra guys. Keenum was 14 for 14 at the end of the Falcons game, with the coaches having the D chained to a tree. Turnovers come by force, and it seems like the Falcons are waiting on luck, waiting for the ball to bounce their way, question mark. Where's the pool blitzes that we saw be successful at the end of last season? Where's the five-man pressures? Campbell started strong early this season off the edge, and they've seemed to get away from it. How about bringing Deion up the middle? Breeze hates pressure up the middle, and we don't see Atlanta bring it. LOL. Deion had great success with this at the end of last season as well. Breeze was like 26 for 35. Why so safe? Those extra possessions will come by force, not luck, man. Not bringing pressure allows Scrubs to look like stars. Winston will eat if they don't bring it. Is Scrubs will look like a superstar. Strong words, Keith. I can't say I disagree with you. I mean, my own real comment right now is like, I think the pool blitzes, particularly in that Green Bay game, were a response to Green Bay going empty a lot and knowing that pool would be able to come free off the edge. But you're right. We haven't seen as many of those cornerback blitzes. I can't necessarily say with certainty, but I don't know if we've seen a lot of empty sets from opposing teams to sort of justify that. Maybe, I don't know. Plus the Falcons have been playing a lot more zone as of late. So maybe, I don't know. You could say they could zone blitz. You're right. The five man pressures, I have no idea what the number is. The Falcons are not a blitz heavy team. You know, I think the last time I saw the numbers were in week 4 or 5, when it was like 20%, which was like in the bottom five in the NFL or something like that, of 20% of their plays, they would bring an extra rusher or more, a.k.a. a blitz. They do throw the five-man pressures at teams from time to time. We did see some of those against the Saints. They aren't really being as effective as of late as they were early in the season. I think part of that has been Campbell hasn't been quite as effective doing that. My personal opinion, this is one of the reasons why I like Beasley at linebacker. I think if you have him be that extra defender on that five-man pressure, I think it would be valuable in a lot of ways. Not to say that Campbell isn't a capable pass rusher, because he is, but it just seems like maybe you need something to stir the pot a little bit. But yeah, I think you're right in terms of mixing up your pressures, being a little bit more exotic. You know, that's one of the criticisms of the Dan Quinn defense and the Dan Quinn style of defense. It's very vanilla. It's not really designed to disguise anything, right? You know, they're not disguising much. They're not showing, oh, we're showing cover one, but then now we're going to drop Keanu Neal and we're going to play cover two. They do that on occasion, but it's not necessarily something where they're going to try to beat you by, tricking you, which is what a lot of NFL defenses are trying to do, particularly a guy like a Greg Williams or something like that. Or I'm trying to think of someone else who's known for some of their, Rex Ryan is another guy, who's known for throwing a whole lot of exotic stuff. We knew Mike Nolan do a whole lot of exotic stuff at teams, and certainly that was a criticism of him during his time. You know, Quinn's going to be like, I want guys to play fast and physical, and the guys play faster when they're not thinking a lot. And so we're not going to do a whole lot of exact stuff. You got one gap, fill it. You got one man to cover, cover it. You got one zone to cover, do it, you know. And then let's fly out there and play fast and loose and hit people, and we'll create the turnovers. That's the philosophy. Now, you're right, Keith, in questioning the execution of that philosophy. Now, does the philosophy need to change, or do we need to get better players to implement that philosophy and execute that philosophy? Now, obviously, Seattle plays with that same philosophy. It's not hurting them, right? San Diego switched to the Seahawks-style cover three defense. You know, it's not really hurting them. But then again, they have Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, arguably the best pass-rushing duo in the entire NFL. That probably has something to do with it. Maybe. Did I say San Diego? I meant L.A., the Chargers. Them Chargers. I think the Falcons can be a little bit more exotic. I don't think they have to suddenly be like, okay, we're going to start disguising all of our pressures and do all this stuff. But I do think they could do a little bit more. I will say, no, there was a game recently. I can't remember. It was a win recently where Poole did blitz and got some nice pressure. I can't remember what game it was. But I want to say it was like the Dallas game. That feels right. But somewhere around that time. Or maybe the Seahawks. Who cares? So I think you're right, Keith. I do think this team needs to be a little bit more aggressive. I think having such good guys on the back end that can hold up in man coverage means that you have the luxury of being a little bit more aggressive. We saw that, I think, again, early in the season with the five-man pressures, but maybe they want to bring in a couple of six-man pressures. Maybe they do want to mix it up, because you're right. It does seem pretty boring with they throw Campbell out there. Occasionally they'll use Beasley there. Occasionally they'll throw Poole out there. Occasionally maybe Deion Jones will blitz from time to time. You know, but it's pretty vanilla stuff. So maybe that's something they can work out, you know, through the rest of the season, or maybe that's something that Marquand Manuel can work on in the offseason and maybe expand going into next year. We'll see. All right, guys. Senior Bowl acceptances are coming in fast now, and you guys can keep up with the Locked On NFL Podcast with hosts John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema on the Locked On Podcast Network, wherever podcasts are found. All right, guys. I guess it's time for an Austin Hooper rant. You know, look, I've talked about this. I've talked about the expectations and people having these high expectations on Hooper coming into the season, saying he's going to be a breakout candidate. And I sort of poo-pooed those that back in the summer, and I have said it multiple times during the season that I thought that was people sort of being a little bit overly optimistic, not really factoring in that the Falcons have a bevy of weapons already at wide receiver and at running back. And the idea that Austin Hooper was going to carve out a huge, significant role to be this quote-unquote breakout guy was probably not the most realistic expectation heading into the season. However, that being said, you look at Austin Hooper's production, you know, the week one stuff sort of skews things a little bit because of, you know, the two busted coverages by the Bears. But since then, if you just look at his last 12 games and you look at his per game averages, it's about, you know, he's catching a slightly better, more passes, like 3.2 to 2.9 than Jacob Tammy per game. His yards are about the same. His touchdowns are down, but then again, everybody on the Falcons' offense's touchdowns are down. Julio, sorry. I need a drink of water. And so, like, you look at it and you say, okay, like, basically for most of the season, he's performing at the same rate that Jacob Tammy did. Which is fine. Like, which is what, you know, again, which would have been a realistic expectation if people had not been, you know, on their hype train as they often are during the offseason. So this idea that, to me, you know, a lot of people have been talking about Austin Hooper. I got the question, I think, on yesterday's show. Someone asked, should the Falcons draft a tight end next year? And I said, yeah, they should, but not to replace Hooper, to replace Toilolo. It's one of those things where I look at it and it's like, I can explain it pretty easily, I think. I think I've figured it out why. What, you know, the problem is you guys can't handle your emotions live on game day, right? We're all fans. We're all passionate. If you're listening to this podcast right now, you're not a well-adjusted person because you're way too obsessed with football. And I say that as someone who is certainly less well-adjusted than you because I host a podcast about their favorite football team, right? We all get passionate on Sunday. We all get upset. We all get happy. When the Falcons win, everything's great. When the Falcons lose, everything's terrible. I understand that thought process. I experience those same highs and lows as you do. What I've learned over the years of covering this team for over a decade is I've learned to sort of mitigate that stuff and never get too high and never try to get too low because otherwise you're going to burn yourself out by the end of the year. And you see that stuff with many fans, but it's understandable. Like, you guys don't host podcasts. You guys can ride that emotional roller coaster on Sunday. You're allowed to. That's your choice. If you want to do it, I'm not telling you how you should be. Certainly not after yesterday's show. I'm not telling you how you should watch the games. But I'm sitting here, I'm going to be critical that you guys do not process those emotions very particularly well. You hang on to that stuff. And right. And so I can explain to you exactly what happened with Austin Hooper and why so many people are down on Austin Hooper and trying to sort of talk about how disappointing his season has been. Is because of those emotions on game day, right? Austin Hooper had two big prominent catches on a critical down, on a critical series that helped the Falcons score a touchdown in the second quarter, right? After making a false start, he then caught two passes, helped convert a second and 20, right? With an 11-yard catch that put a third and 8, and then he converted it with like a 11-yard catch, right? And then, you know, a couple plays later, the Falcons scored a touchdown on the Devontae Freeman run up the middle. That was big catches, two big plays. But the only thing that anybody remembers from the Saints game, right, from last Thursday, is the drops. Now, I think the first drop that everybody blames is a drop. I think that was a bad throw by Matt Ryan. But the second drop, obviously Hooper, it hit him right in the hands. It became an interception. And that's the second time that's happened this year, right? It happened against Miami, even though that was more a good play by the defender and sort of knocking the ball out, but he still should have caught the ball, right? Right? Now, Mohamed Sanu's had two drop passes, right? One drop pass against Detroit and another one against Dallas that was broken up. I know many of you thought, well, he was interfered with. Not really, but no one's sitting here saying his season's been a disappointment, are they? Right? Nick Williams had a deflection, a pass picked off on a deflection. Was that the Bills game? Because it had to be the Bills game because that's the only game he's played. Right? Who was the other guy? Coleman had one in Detroit. You know, I don't hear anybody talking about those guys being disappointed. See, no, what happened was Hooper has these two big catches. Everybody's fist pumping. Oh, great job, Austin Hooper. Then Dan Quinn, the end of the first half debacle happens, and we're all pissed off. I know I was. Like, what is Dan Quinn thinking? We're pissed off going into halftime. So we're like, okay, you know, you're trying to process your emotions during halftime. You go get your chicken wings. You go get another beer. You go to the bathroom. You do whatever. You're trying to process that thing. And so then what happens on the very first play, Austin Hooper drops a pass. It becomes an interception. The Saints go down and score 7 points. I believe that they tied up the game with that one, right? And so all that anger and resentment that you had at halftime, now all of it gets magnified, tripled, quadrupled. And all that resentment that you have for Dan Quinn now is projected and dumped on Austin Hooper. And so what ends up happening is coming out of that game, you still have that resentment and anger that you balled up in your chest and buried and it attached itself to Austin Hooper. And you're still unable to process that. And you're still holding on to that anger and resentment. And that's the only thing you remember that Austin Hooper did in that game. Oh, he had these drops. Oh, that's the second time he's dropped the pass. It's turned into an interception. Oh, I can think of this penalty or that mess up. The wrong route he ran against Miami that led to an interception in that game. And so now all of a sudden, because of that anger and resentment, all you focus on are the negative things that Austin Hooper did. Why, when you look at the Saints game, give me a logical explanation. When you look at that Saints game, you look at the two drops and then the two big catches he had that helped set up a Falcons score. Why is one more important than the other one? They're both two plays, two positive plays, two negative plays. It should balance out, shouldn't it? To a neutral performance from Austin Hooper, right? But no, it's not a neutral performance for a lot of you guys. It's a negative one because you cannot process your emotions from Sunday. You hold on to it for weeks and months. It's the same thing that happened last year with Ricardo Allen. He had a bad game against the Panthers. And so you guys then sat there and were like, oh, Ricardo Allen stinks. We need to upgrade our free safety position because I need to justify my emotions, because you guys get upset on game days. And then you justify those emotions rather than washing it away. You flush it away. That's all you have to do. What happens on Sunday, you can ride the emotional roller coaster on Sunday. I got no problem with that. You should do that as a fan because you're watching the game live. You don't know how it's going to end. But once the game is over, you got to flush that stuff away, guys. And don't hold on to it for weeks and months. And then just try to justify that anger and resentment by saying, oh, Austin Hooper's a disappointment. Austin Hooper's struggling. Austin Hooper needs to be replaced. Austin Hooper needs to be benched. Austin Hooper's not reliable. All because of one emotional outburst you guys had at the start of the third quarter. You're not thinking, you're reacting. And so this is part of my issue. And so I can sit here because I've learned over the years to not react, right? Many of you, if you guys ever watched the Falcon game with me, you would be amazed by how subdued I am watching the game, right? I still have the emotional swings, but I've learned to not let those emotional outbursts rule me because I know I'm going to rewatch the game on Monday without the emotion. I'm just going to be like, okay, yeah, this guy had a good game, and all the things that I missed on Sunday, or in this case, Thursday, because I'm having the emotional reactions, I'm in my feelings, as the kids say. I know I'm going to get rid of that the next day when I rewatch the game. And then I'm going to watch the All 22 and really find out what happened in the game the next day on Tuesday. Now, I can do that because I know I'm going to rewatch the game twice. I know, hey, Aaron, don't overreact. But you guys don't do that, which is fine. Like, I'm not sitting here saying everybody's got to rewatch the game 2-3 times afterwards. But I'm sitting here saying that you guys have to learn to process your emotions better, right? You're mad that Vic Beasley missed that tackle dropping cover. Why is Vic Beasley dropping in the coverage? And then someone comes and tells you, Vic Beasley's dropped in the coverage 27 times in the last 9 games. Right? You guys are making a big deal about 3 coverage drops. He dropped in the coverage against Minnesota 5 times. You guys are making a big deal about 5 plays. Oh no, the coaching staff is completely wasting Vic Beasley's potential because he dropped in the coverage 5 times. Really? Justin Houston drops in the coverage 8 times a game. Von Miller drops in the coverage 3 times a game. 5 plays? You guys are freaking out about 5 friggin' plays. And it's all because of that one emotional moment, because the Falcons lost the game and Vic Beasley missed the tackle and you guys flipped out. And you can't process with the rational part of your brain that it's not that big a deal. That you, oh, I overreacted in a moment. And if you rewatch the games, you might realize that. But even if you don't, you got to learn how to process that stuff. You got to learn how to flush it away. And don't hold on to that anger and resentment and be like, I was so angry that Austin Hooper dropped that pass at the beginning of the third quarter, and now I'm going to sit here and justify a narrative that Austin Hooper's somehow disappointed this season. How? In what world? Oh, because you had way high expectations? Well, the realization should be like, oh, if Austin Hooper's a disappointment, he's going to finish this year with 50 catches, 500-something yards, and a couple of touchdowns? That's a disappointment? Then I need to look at that with a logical brain and be like, that's not a disappointment. The disappointment, if that's a disappointment, my friends, then it means my expectations were probably too high. You got to look in the mirror, guys. That's all I'm saying. You got to realize that you are the fallible person in the equation. You are fallible. Your emotions will lead you astray. It is your perception that is fallible. And you have to understand that first before you can start to build your narratives and be like, oh, maybe this thing that I believe is not necessarily true. Let me go back and do another deeper cut, a deeper dive, and realize, oh, this thing that I thought was a bigger deal than it actually is not really that big a deal. Oh, I was freaking out about Vic Beasley dropping the coverage, and now I realize it's 3 to 5 plays a game that Vic Beasley drops in the coverage. That's not as big a deal as people are making it out to be. Oh, Austin Hooper's dropped a couple of passes. Yeah, young receivers drop passes. It's not a big deal. We know a very famous Falcon wide receiver that dropped a lot of passes early in his career. He figured it out. Austin Hooper has excellent hands. His drops aren't because he has bad hands. His drops are concentration drops. Right? Concentration can improve. That's going to get better with time. Right? He's been great after the catch. His blocking has improved immensely over the last couple of games. To a point where he was last year, where he was a good blocker. It's going to be fine, guys. Right? If you thought he was going to be Travis Kelce or Jordan Reed or Rob Gronkowski, the issue isn't Austin Hooper. The issue is you. You need to really examine your own expectations and your own perspective. Austin Hooper, I'll be the first one. He's not played an amazing season, but in context, just as a whole, it's no big deal. We're making 5 plays. The 2 drop interceptions, the drop touchdown, right? He ran the wrong route against Miami. A couple of false start penalties. It's a half dozen plays, man. Out of 600 plays he's played, out of over 800 plays that we've seen from the Falcons, it's not that big a deal. But without that context, without your ability to flush away those game day emotions, you're not going to be able to realize that. That's all I'm saying. So there you go, guys. I had to do a midweek rant because I'm just sitting here and baffled. And I'm not baffled. I understand it, but it's the same stuff you guys do all the time. Like it's Wes Schweitzer all over again. Oh, Wes Schweitzer missed this block. He stinks. We need to bench him. Okay, like he's going through first year growing pains. It's not the first time it's happened. Like look. I'm hard on Devondre Campbell, but I wouldn't sit here and tell you that he's been a disappointment this year. Right? He's played much better this year than he did last year. My issue with Devondre Campbell is because y'all are talking about him like he's playing this amazing football. And it's like, he's still making mistakes. He's not having as good a season as y'all are saying he's having. But he's having a good season, particularly relative to last year. My issues with Devondre Campbell is he hasn't made the growth in the mental areas of the game that I would wish that he would. And a lot of it to me is simple stuff that he's still messing up on. I don't expect him to go out there and be Bobby Wagner, Anthony Barr, Lawrence Taylor, whoever, you know, insert whoever. Right? But I do think he needs to be a little bit better than what he's been. To justify all the platitudes that he's been getting from a lot of fans this year. But is he a disappointment? No. Right? Is he frustrating? Yes. But you would only be frustrated if you watched the film. If you don't watch the film, you're like, I don't see all the times he messes up. I just assumed that was somebody else. Right, and then, look, I'm fully aware that I'm harder on Devondre Campbell than I should be. You know, that's where I can, you know, that's where my emotions get the better of me. That's where my own biases come in. I'm fully aware of that. You know, you had the Bucs game a couple of weeks ago. That was probably his best game he played all year. Still made some critical mistakes in that game, 2 of them, but there were probably like 6 positive plays that certainly outweighed that. It's the same thing with Deion Jones on Thursday. He made some mistakes in that game. He missed some tackles. He had some bad run fits, but he certainly made enough good positive plays to certainly outweigh and outshine those negative ones. And that's what I want from Devondre Campbell. And I think outside of the Bucs game, outside of maybe the Bears game, I haven't seen enough of that from him as I would want. Certainly not enough to justify, you know, all the praise and heaps that he's been heaped on. Whatever, I can't talk anymore. I'm too emotional. All right, guys. If you want to be like Keith, then send in your questions on Facebook. That's Locked On Falcons on Facebook. Give us a like while you're there. There are no character limits on Facebook. I mean, there are, but they're ridiculous high. But if you don't mind character limits, you can always tweet at the show. I'm at FalcFans. The show is at Locked On Falcons. If it's podcast related, let me know in the tweet to me, or you can just send it directly to Locked On Falcons. That way I know it's podcast related. You can also send an email, lockedonfalcons@mail.com. You can also post a comment on lockedonfalcons.com, as well as falcfans.com, where the show is posted daily. You know what? Since we're just messing around on this midweek episode, on this draft Wednesday, let me go and check out the iTunes review. I haven't done an iTunes review in a long time, since like September maybe? Maybe the first week of October? You probably got like 7,000 of these things. Let's see. Well, according to this, we only got one. You guys are slipping on this Pro Football Focus thing. All right. A 5-star review from Steve Barnes, 1978, titled The Best Falcons Podcast. If any of you peasants like chicken wings are looking for a podcast with hot takes, rants, and awkward outros to drink your Sanute Haterade to, then this podcast is for you. Aaron is very informed and has lots of football knowledge and keeps everyone's expectations for our team realistic. Hashtag rise up. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. He summarized the podcast perfectly. Wow. Only one? There been an issue? Y'all been leaving more reviews? Okay. I don't know, man. That's why I hadn't done them in a long time, because I hadn't seen any reviews in a long time. And so I was like, I was just going to let them pile up eventually. And then I forgot about it for a month. Okay. Now I'm in my feelings. Okay, we got two more. One is a 5-star review titled, Tell Gina I Said Hey. By Kwanye. Go Falcons, good podcast. Short and sweet. All right, I'll let Gina know what you said next time she's on. Which will be never. No, I'm kidding. She'll probably be on like in 2 weeks or something like that. Next one is a 5-star review from Fox1073 titled Informative and Thought-Provoking. I thoroughly enjoy listening to this podcast because each time I learn more about my team and how they win or lose. Most importantly, I either get pumped up or angry at the host because he says things that make me think. At Keith Lisenby on Twitter. Thanks, Keith. Well, I hope this one made you angry. I don't know. No, I hope this one made you pumped up. Probably not, but we'll see. All right, appreciate you guys for the iTunes reviews. We'll be back hopefully tomorrow with the Bucks preview and then a fan talk on Friday. And if not, then, you know, if you guys want to send in your questions, then by all means send them in. I'll keep answering as they trickle in, just like these iTunes reviews. Until then, you guys have a nice night.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.